You're about to hear Thought Leader Life with Mitchell Levy on the FIR Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Mitchell Levy, and welcome to episode 109 of Thought Leader Life. We've had a phenomenal month, and I'm so looking forward to this last session with Dr. Stacy Feiner. Stacy's been with us for the month. We've been talking about the culture in mid-market companies. Stacy Feiner is a CID executive coach for the middle market at BDO, and Stacy's brought on some really phenomenal guests. Stacy, thank you so much for joining me for the month.
Thanks, Mitchell. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Oh, good. We'll have to do it again. It was great. Hey, we have with us Robert Elward, the COO of the Sports Mind Institute, who's had a very interesting career, done many things in this life, and now doing something new, which we'll learn about today. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Mitchell and Stacy. Thank you.
Okay, so, Robert, what we've been talking about throughout the show is focusing on culture in the mid-market. And in today's fast-paced world, if there's really a need for culture at all, what are your thoughts in terms of culture within corporations?
Sure. I think culture is extremely important, but only if it's utilized and implemented the right way. And I say that intentionally because I don't think it's just something that naturally exists within organizations. And, of course, you're going to hear me reference sports teams as well and organizations, sports organizations, because that's my background in my industry. I think it needs to be created, and it's the heartbeat of the organization. It needs to be created from the top. And in an organization, that could be the CEO or the owner. And in a team, of course, it could be the owner or the general manager or the head coach. It just depends on that type of sport and environment. But I do believe that it needs to be created and a lot of thought needs to be put into it, and it needs to be open to being changed and evolved over time.
I like it. Great answer, by the way. Very concrete, very focused. Love it.
Yeah. You know, Robert, sometimes I think about it in terms of a leader that proactively builds culture can have a healthy culture, but a leader who doesn't focus on developing proactively their culture actually ends up looking like their worst idiosyncrasies.
I completely agree. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of thought, and again, to self-identify, is this important? And if it is, you treat it just like any other product or vital member of your team. It is top of the list.
All right. So how did you two meet Robert, and what is it that you're focused on now? What's exciting in the world?
Sure. Well, we got to plug LinkedIn whenever we can. I met Stacy through LinkedIn and just saw a very impressive resume and history of working with folks and working with people that are involved in business, but generally also in life. And my business right now is working with the Sports Mind Institute, as you mentioned, where we're focused on helping others as well. And the title is a little bit indicative of what we're trying to do, taking a sports mind type of thought, producing an academic type educational outcome from some of the lessons and stories from sports minds, and seeing just some synergy between what Stacy does in her work and what we do here, producing a lot of content at the Sports Mind Institute.
Nice. So, Stacy, you're excited about this. You've looked at some of Robert's work.
Yeah.
How does this fit into the culture work that you're doing?
It's a direct correlation. So one of the things that was most impressive of the e-learning modules that I watched of Robert's on the Sports Mind Institute had lots to do with questions having to do with talent, having to do with teamwork, having to do with a mindset, having to do with competition and winning and collaboration, and kind of rowing with the same kind of strength in order to get to your end goal. And they were inspiring, but they were also, and they are also, full of lessons. I think that these analogies between business and sports sometimes are kind of, they're loose. They sound good, they're kind of inspiring, but they don't have a whole lot of practical application. These modules that Sports Minds Institute has created really has direct application for business owners. And so I think there's it's an important, fresh new look at how leaders can learn in business how to be more effective, how to be more successful. You know, in you know, in sports, when you start a game, it's like, let's play ball. But in business, you don't start the day. Let's play business. And the people that, you know, the most, the best paid people in our country are athletes, and they don't work at play. They play their game. So I think when business leaders look at how business is to be played, business is to be experienced, I think there's a wonderful opportunity to grow leaders through sports analogies and sports stories.
You know, I think I have my aha moment. I've been thinking about this for a while. So what I often say, because I love to work, I love to create and do new things. And what I often say is, if work equals play, then you play all the time. But I actually just start my day. I don't actually start my day with a statement. I think starting my day with a statement like, "Hey, let's play business," would be kind of fun.
I like it.
we need a theory. We need a theme. Sports theme. I'll go to Fiverr. We'll get some theme for that. Pretty cool stuff.
But tell us, Robert, what is it that you believe is the nugget or the lesson that connects business with sports?
Yeah, on the topical level, almost all sports, let's take out youth sports, but even collegiate and above, and sometimes in high school, they are businesses. They're major businesses. I mean, if you look at the NFL or any of our major leagues here in the States or overseas, these are billions and billions and billions coming in and are treated just like a business. It's very attractive on the outside to say, "Hey, I can't wait to get a job within the sports industry." And then you get there and you realize could be the same job that you just had somewhere else that wasn't in the sports industry, because everything is treated the same. Of course, there are outcomes that can be measured very easily and in exciting emotional ways. But that's the topical sense. You know, what sports and business have a very strong correlation. Moving beyond that, though, I do believe that the platforms are very similar. I mean, in a business, no matter what the outcome is that you're trying to achieve, you're trying to improve people, products, processes, the same in business. And so when we take those little segments of what we're trying to achieve and we apply it in the business workplace, it's just the same in sports. Whether it's we're developing players or we're developing nutrition for those players, we're developing a PR division or ticket sales, anything that we're trying to improve, enhance, to exceed expectations like any other great business is happening in both the business world inside the traditional office as well as what I'd like to say on the field or the offices that oversee the field.
Hmm. So we kind of need, actually, it'd be kind of interesting to come up with, because we accept the terms and approaches and positions in professional sports. And we technically have those corollaries in business, but they don't act the same way, right? The coach on the field is not treated the same way as the HR executive at the organization, right? I mean, so it'd be kind of interesting to figure out how to change the rules.
Yeah, it would be. You're right, and I don't think I have the answer to that. But I'll share a story, and it'll open up some other dialogue here. Tony Dungy, who I had the privilege and honor of sitting down in an interview and listening to him for a good 45 minutes and speak about his life, and he's such a kind and gentle soul and such a respected individual, both in the NFL, but of course all over the world. He's highly respected. It took him years and years and years to develop from what I understood from the story, but he put up four sentences or lines, phrases, everywhere within the office and also within the locker room. And it was expectations, execution, no excuses, no explanation. And if you think about that, it when we start talking about those, how do we, you know, manage or coexist or interact with those in our office, compared to, for example, Tony Dungy trying to make that statement and then hiring his players and his coaches and everybody who are going to be fit to adopt that system of what he put on the wall. anybody can follow that. Anybody can follow that mantra, whatever that mantra is, in relation to what you're trying to achieve in your own business, and you know, going back to that word culture. So I found that story to be really interesting by Tony. And then I think about, you know, businesses that I've run, or folks that I've consulted with or done work for or been involved with, or just even talking with friends. And I think the same thing applies. I mean, the core values that we establish to create that culture and create the behavior and create the way we're going to welcome new people or new systems in and new products into our business just sometimes happen to be in the employee manual sometimes, as opposed to in the locker room door when you open it up and you're looking at it as a team all together. Maybe that's a difference, and maybe that's something that could change when we want to implement it. I know some companies have it written on the walls or on within the posters and such, but it's just nice to all be on the same ground with such a simple yet hugely complicated and sophisticated message.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I was just talking to a CEO the other day, and we were talking about three words, work done together. And I was, you know, I was admiring some of the accomplishments that his team has made over 2015. We're getting ready for, you know, we're in the midst of 2016. And first I was going to say, yeah, the together is really the most important part, but it really absolutely isn't. You have to do the work, and in this case, the play. You know, you have to put in the effort. You have to get the work done, and you have to do it together. And so I like how you were mentioning the Dungy story, and every company, every culture, every leader has to come up with their own four words, three words, six words, and they have to be unequivocal. They can sound fancy, they can sound aspirational, but I think the things that, that you're talking about, I think the things that I've heard other coaches talk about, they're unequivocal. This is how we do it, and if you don't want to do it this way, then you don't have to be here, but these are the things that are most important, and this is what brings us together. I think you're right, Robert, that culture does evolve and change over time. Actually, every person you add and every person you move out shifts the culture. But these unequivocal expectations really never change. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the glue that holds a team together, knowing that culture unfolds, but you have to make sure you're doing it thoughtfully. So I think it's a really great story. What do you think make some companies, some teams work better than others? Is it always four words? Do you think there are other things that impact the culture of a team?
So that's a great question and a complicated one. And however, one that we can recognize the patterns over a decade or so of seeing sort of who makes the playoffs or whatever the goal of that sport may be. I think it's easy to identify. I mean, here we are in this interview, not to date it, but we're right before the Super Bowl, 5 days before the Super Bowl, and Peyton.
Uh-oh.
I'm back. Are you guys back?
No, we lost Robert for a little bit.
I should be back. I don't know. It just, the whole thing just conked out.
Okay, I can hear you. Keep going with Peyton.
I hate it when that happens. Anyhow, let's go for it.
I want to hear that story.
So here we are, Peyton Manning, and I, you know, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but if you look at the last 10 years or so, and you look at the quarterback, which then, of course, is a reflection of the organization as well, and you look at Peyton Manning and Roethlisberger and Brady, and then I think it's a couple of the Ravens quarterbacks from the, this is from the AFC. They're the only ones who've gone to the Super Bowl in the last 10 years. So where's everybody else? You know, I mean, you got Denver, New England, Pittsburgh. Of course, you have the Giants and some others on the other side, but I just use that as a reference because where's everybody else? Well, again, if we look at the leaders of those organizations and we really take the ownership group, the head coach, those they surround themselves with, the quarterback himself in this situation, I just think there is a common thread that has been set from, as an example, is something as simple on the wall as expectations, execution, no excuses, no explanation. That it really in any conversation of should we do this? Should we draft this player? should we add this to the stadium, the atmosphere of the stadium? Should we run this play or have this part of the game plan? I mean, if you define your values well enough and you stick to them and the leader sticks to them and really holds everybody accountable, you can almost always say, well, does that fit into expectations, execution, no excuse and no explanation? And those who let it slide, you know, I think those are the teams that we don't see a lot. And so I think it's directly applicable. I think another common denominator, which I, again, a short story from David Cornwell. David Cornwell is an excellent attorney, represents a lot of athletes in various cases. Also, the coaches, executive director of the NFL Coaches Association. I'm telling a lot of NFL stories here, but, you know, it's before the Super Bowl. It's that time. And he mentioned something, which is great. He's got 400, 500 attorneys working with him. He's been involved in a lot of things. He gets ideas thrown at him all the time. So it's not those creative type ideas, but it's still ideas. Hey, maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should approach it this way. And he said something which is so fascinating that hit me right over the head. And this is just a year ago. So in all these years I've been working, he said, that's great. But he always turns to his team and he says, well, what's the objective? Why? Tell me the why we're doing this and the objective. And that sort of goes then back to, well, what are our core values, either on the wall or embedded within our culture? And if you can't come up with the objective, why are we doing it? What's the objective of hiring Johnny Manziel? Not to take a shot at the guy, I feel bad for him, but, you know, what's the objective? Is it to get ticket sales? Okay, well, if some people think it's to get ticket sales because he's going to draw attention, that's a whole approach to that culture. If it's to win Super Bowls, that's an entirely different approach. You know, so it's really got to be defined and then carried forward. And it's not as simple, Stacey, to answer your question, but it can be as simple as going back to what's the objective? Does it fit our core values? And every decision is made upon that. So no matter how complex the issue at hand is or the movement or the change management that we're going to handle is fitting within that bucket.
Well, it's interesting. We are Johnny Manziel land over here in Cleveland. So that's funny that you say that. Well, I also, we also have Urban Meyer at OSU at the Ohio State University, and he has a process that is next man up, next person up, and basically that's how he thinks about succession planning. You know, he has a 4-year process of talent. He has talent for 4 years, and it's always next man up. So how are you going to hire the next person or bring the next team member on to keep the franchise or to keep the team alive and successful year over year? I think that is has a direct correlation to business, because in business, we're thinking about succession planning. We're thinking about making sure as the company grows, because we're actually in business adding new team members. We might double the team in size year over year. That's not true necessarily in football or in baseball. You know, you have a set number of members of your team, and in business, it could double in the course of a year. So we need to be really paying attention to those tools and how they can be scaled as business grows. So I like the idea of next man up, because we have to be in business thinking really thoughtfully and strategically about how we bring in new talent and deploy talent into other parts of the country, company as the company grows.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's excellent. Urban Meyer is good. That was a good transition from the Johnny Manziel to a little bit more positive. By the way, I feel like Urban Meyer. I'm sitting here with my headphones on here. I'm getting plays called in from above, so I'm going with that football theme. This looks good. No, you're so right. You're so right, Stacey. And I'm thinking about our conversation now, and it's really, why not have those phrases in your office or in the boardroom or in the meeting room or wherever it is? Because we can overcomplicate everything. As an owner, I was an owner of a large organization, organization in the youth sports world. And to me, even though we would set core values, if it wasn't staring me in the face, sometimes I got caught up in the moment, whether it was emotional or as immediate, or we needed to make a decision. Sometimes you forget, right? You're using your, everything you've learned up to that point to make those decisions, but sometimes you forget exactly how you want to proceed and stay on the tracks. So having those words posted, I think, is really important. It just reminds you, like, wait a second, you know, did I set the expectations? Mm-hmm. You know, we have a problem here. So-and-so called up a problem in the warehouse, whatever it may be, or this didn't get delivered on time to our clients. Well, okay, first reaction is, well, how come? Why not? Before just sitting there for a second saying, hold on 1 second. Have I set the expectations to my team? did they set the expectations to their team, you know, and going on, and are they making excuses? What's going on here? So I just like having it post as well, whether it's next man up or anything.
Well, and I think I do like the phrases. I think words really matter. Words matter because you can't, you know, based on how you define a problem, determines how you solve for it. So if you don't use the correct words, or if you're not accurate in the way you define the problem, you can't solve for it, or you won't solve for it. And so a lot of times I think, and I like this analogy to sports, is that it's so important to have the right mindset. Of course it's important to have the most highly engineered equipment. And of course you need the team of people around you. The only variable should be external, the ones you can't control for. And I think, would you share, think about watching tape as something? I mean, I see that in sports, coaches watch tape. You know, in peak season, a football coach, at least in college, might watch 40 to 60 hours of tape a week, right? I think I spoke with you about this the last time we talked. And I don't know that in business we take enough time to reflect or to watch tape and to see the variables. I mean, we might have had the right play, but we didn't expect variable A or variable B. And were we able to be agile enough to adapt to that unexpected? Can you talk about that as it relates to business? I don't think business watches enough tape is basically my premise.
Yeah, which sometimes is probably a good thing, as I okay. once reviewed so much tape in a week or a season that I either went blind or drove myself crazy, as one or the other happened during that time period. But no, I agree with you, and I understand your premise. And the premise is, are we doing enough reflection? And there's a couple ways to look at it. I mean, in sports, the late great Tony Gwynn, who I grew up with watching, it was interesting. I had the privilege of meeting Tony one time, and he shared a story with me that said. I asked him this question, right, when video analysis was becoming big, and Tony sort of invented video analysis. Now there's a difference between watching yourself in baseball and the mechanics and then watching football game film because you're trying to find the weaknesses and everything else, as opposed to analyzing yourself and seeing if you're using the proper mechanics. So there is a little bit of a different approach there. But Tony used to say, well, I only watched footage of when I got a base hit. I never watched not a base hit, when I made good contact with the ball, I should say, because that's how it was measured. I made good contact with the ball. I did not want to watch tape of when I swung and missed because it was a negative reinforcement. Now, everybody is different, but I've heard that amongst a lot of athletes. You don't want to negatively reinforce things, and others could, of course, argue that and say, well, how are you going to learn if you didn't do it right the first? It's just it depends on your rhythm. It depends on who you are, your constitution as an athlete. Well, in business, I think watching tape, obviously, you know, there are a couple ways to do it. I mean, first of all, if you're in the public setting, you can literally watch tape. You should film yourself and, you know, say, okay, go back and watch how you interacted with your team members, or watch how you interacted with the press. And sometimes that's easy, but you can film. You could definitely film. I filmed enough youth coaches in my consulting work to say, you need to watch your body language and blah, 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 blah. But I could tell them all that instead of just videotaping and say, just watch yourself. Watch yourself for a half hour, walk up and down the sidelines and see how – is that really who you are and what you want to portray? But another interesting thing, and this came from the Sports Mind Institute when we were interviewing Paul DePodesta. So, geez, we're focused on Cleveland here. Paul DePodesta just spent the last 20 years in Major League Baseball. He was featured in Moneyball with Billy Beane. Okay, so he's not Jonah Hill, just so everybody knows watching the movie, but he is the real life character behind Michael Lewis's book and then played by Jonah Hill in the movie. So Paul is now gone from Major League Baseball to you over in Ohio. He's the chief strategy officer for the Browns. So expect some more wins over there.
Thanks for your confidence, Robert.
I'm with you. So Paul used to say that he and Billy Beane started what was called the decision diary. Decision diary. So I'm listening to him talk about this, and it was really fascinating because in sports, and we can make this correlation to business, we don't always know why an outcome occurred. So maybe we had a great season, and maybe it was because of a certain trade or it was a certain play. So in business, maybe it was a certain person we brought on board or a certain way we marketed that product. Well, was it that, or were we just sort of lucky that year? Were there other factors involved? And it's very easy when something doesn't work to look back and say, well, of course it was wrong because we did A, B, C, and D. And it's very easy as well to do the converse, right? When it works out well, of course it worked because we did A, B, and C. Well, what Paul and Billy did, and I mean, the history speaks for itself here with the Oakland A's and how they achieved so much with so little, is that they would keep a decision diary. So when they made a decision to bring somebody on, let somebody go, make a trade, do whatever, they would log their decision not only of what they were doing, but why they were making that decision at that time. And it was just like any other, you know, teenage diary or adult diary that one would keep. So at the end of the year, at the end of the season or ever, whatever period you want to define, you don't so much look at the outcome. The outcome is something to measure against, but you look at what your decision was at that time and you learn from that. And so I think it's very applicable there, and that could be your tape. You know, how many people do we know? I don't know anybody who sat there and I'm making this decision today. This is the way we're going to move forward as a small team, as an organization, and actually writes it down, and here's why we're doing it. Yeah, whatever. You know, you have it in your brain, but you don't. Success and failure sometimes will muddle, create a very confusing outcome when we look back and say, well, can we replicate this?
First of all, that was such a good and impassioned story about that. I really appreciate it, and I think you were hitting the nail on the head with what I'm looking for and what I have tried to create also in the coaching work that I've done. So I've looked at it from sports and also from military. There's a process in the military called CALL, the Center for Army Lessons Learned, and essentially they when they complete a mission, they get together, the folks get together, and they debrief on the mission and on the lessons learned. And in business, in trying to kind of replicate some of that for business leaders, what we have done is a little bit of that kind of diary. And after a coaching conversation, we will both the client and myself will journal the conversation and the takeaways, and another a couple of other different kind of qualities about the conversation. And we will look back at that almost like third person. So you have two people in a conversation. We're doing a coaching conversation about some decision that was made or some words and actions and the reactions that they got from those decisions, and look back and see these notes at almost as though we were looking at it or able to see it third person. And I think that third person review of a conversation or how we dissected or deconstructed a particular situation is a very valuable way to use this watching tape in business.
Yeah, actually, it was very elegantly done. Here, let me give you my aha moment. It's shocking how quickly a half hour goes. What's interesting to me is as I'm thinking about culture, as I'm tying together both the sports and military side, what we're really talking about is really good project management. Right, because the watching tape is really the postmortem, and what often doesn't happen with project managers is they don't give the postmortem enough attention. The other thing is when you're running a project, who's the project manager? Who owns the monkey? Who's the person in charge? Like when you're running a play, you know, if it's offense, who do you look to? If it's defense, who do you look to? When you're running a quarter, who do you look to? Right. So there's well defined in sports. Along the way in business, it's not always as – I mean, technically it's top down, but when the CEO is not in the room, there has to be a culture that permeates good project management along the way, and that's – is very interesting. I could definitely see a couple of books here trying to tie together the really interesting elements in sports to business to coaching to project management. It'd be kind of fun. This was great. Love it.
Well,
great conversation.
I don't know what Robert's reaction was when you said it all comes down to project management. I was like, well, but I can appreciate that there are three legs to this stool, right? There's leadership, there's the equipment and the project and the management of that, and it's the players, the culture that brings really the culture unifies the team to deliver on the strategy. And so I think you're right. I mean, it does take all three of the legs of the stool to accomplish your goals, the ones that leaders want and they deserve. So I think it was fun how we got here.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Robert, Is there any question? This went by way too fast. It was absolutely fantastic. Beautiful. Thank you. It was exactly fell hold of your prediction, Stacey, that this would be a great show, and it was. Robert, is there a particular question that we should have asked you that we didn't?
I don't. The only thing that's come to mind, I don't know if it was a question that you should have asked, but to sort of integrate a thought that I had while we were just speaking is, you know, one thing that I've realized having been involved in so much athletic competitions and practices and teams, and then having the honor and the privilege and the hard work and luck and whatever you want to call it to run businesses and be a CEO and an owner and a founder, I do think that in sports, when we say, what can we institute, right? What can we take from sports and institute into our business? Well, I think in sports, we are able to stay very present while we're doing things. And present means we're having fun and we're doing what we need to do to accomplish certain goals. And ultimately, it's the goal to win, right? It's everything's measured by a scoreboard, whether you like it or not. And it's a goal to win. And so you get those short-term victories week in, week out, multiples, depending on what the sport you're playing or what you're doing. And so it's sort of simple to be able to manage that sometimes in your life as an athlete or as a coach or involved in sports. When you go into the business world, I think we lose sense a little bit, and it took me a long time to realize this, of when and where we should celebrate and what the culture of celebration is within our organization. And you can't, you know, you hear the, we're going to do an annual review and all that stuff. And I say, you know, come on, annual review, I mean, a daily review or a weekly review, or let's define how we're going to celebrate these moments, because unfortunately, not all the time, and again, I'm speaking broadly, not all the time is there a scoreboard right in front of us. So maybe you create a scoreboard, whatever it is you want to measure, but realize that people do like to celebrate. They do like to know where they are as an organization and as an individual. And so, you know, create that atmosphere. It doesn't have to be cheesy. It doesn't have to be directly related to sports. But the point here is celebrate small wins, right? Let's not wait to the end of the year to look back at the season and watch tape then. Let's watch the tape. Let's celebrate and let's move forward and continue to build that culture. That would be my advice.
I love it. Yeah. And Robert, people who are listening to you or watching you, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, sure. You can email me at robert.elwood, R-O-B-E-R-T, and then you'll list it Elwood, E-L-W-O-T, but robert.elwood at thesportsmindinstitute.com, or just check out thesportsmindinstitute.com.
Well done. Thank you so much, Robert Elwood, the COO of the Sports Mind Institute. Stacey Feiner, this was an amazing month and a spectacular session to leave with. How would you like to wrap up?
Yeah, I would like to further endorse the Sports Mind Institute and the e-learning modules. They're really exciting. They're fascinating. Tom Landry, I would like to end with a quote from Tom Landry. A coach is someone who shows you what you don't want to see, who tells you what you don't want to hear so that you can be the person you want to be.
Ooh.
And I
assume that's how you live your life in your coaching practice.
For sure. Absolutely. And it's actually a lot more fun than it sounds. people are the most interesting, individuals are so interesting, and they forget every day how much they contribute to the environment that they're in. And so if we help people really feel good and think critically about their contribution, people rise to the occasion. And so I really enjoyed the conversation with Robert. I'm so glad to be part of his team and endorsing these e-learning modules. And so I really thank you, Mitchell and Robert, both of you, for helping my folks learn more about what you both do.
Awesome. And Stacey, how do people get a hold of you?
Sure. It's Stacey. It's www.stacyfeiner.com. And of course, you can find me on LinkedIn, and you can find all my contact information there. I can't wait to hear from everybody.
Perfect. Thanks. And for those that want to re-listen or re-watch this episode or any of the other 108 episodes of Thought Leader Life, you can go to thoughtleaderlife.com. Either on YouTube, SlideShare, we also are on iTunes. We broadcast in iTunes through the FIR network. And also we have, I think we've created something in the order of 20 plus aha books from the thought leadership, lessons that have come from Thought Leader Life. So there's a lot of great content, and Robert, you'll be part of a book that we'll create for Stacy on coaching and culture in the mid-market, and I'm excited about that. I'm really looking forward to seeing what it all turns out to be. To reach out to me, just Google Mitchell Levy, link up to me on LinkedIn or Facebook if you think it's appropriate, and certainly Twitter I'm at Happy About. I thank you so much, the two of you, for joining us today. I thank the audience for joining us. Look forward to seeing and talking with you during another episode of Thought Leader Life. Take care, everybody. Bye now.
You've been listening to FIR Presents Thought Leader Life with Mitchell Levy, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. More information at www.reagan.com. In each episode, Mitchell interviews a thought leader or someone involved in thought leadership and shares best practices to tease out how to become an effective thought leader. Thought Leadership with Mitchell Levy is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast in the network is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediatereleasebiz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Thought Leadership with Mitchell Levy. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR podcast community. Or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.